Well, it turned out to certainly be a nightmare well, and what we learned through testimony that has already been presented in front of Congress and various agencies is that BP made a lot of choices about how they were drilling it, cutting corners in terms of the drilling mud, in terms of the way they linked the pipes together and designed the well. And it certainly looks like those decisions made the disaster much more likely. At the same time, of course, the Marine Mineral Management Service wasn't providing adequate oversight, so nobody was catching them as they were cutting corners. And all of that led to this disaster.
And two of the specific things that you talk about in the book are the cementing of the well and the centralizers.
When you're drilling a well, you have to keep the drill bit as correct as possible within that and centralizing the pipes that go inside the larger hole. And so how those are sent, how those are placed, and then the mud that's used around, you can use, frankly, it's more expensive or less expensive mud. And drilling mud is, despite its name, not just mud, it's much heavier than regular mud. And all of this is designed to stabilize and ensure no leaks. And both of those were BP chose the cheaper option. They were also trying to move very quickly because they were a little behind schedule. And MMS allowed that to happen. What's interesting is, of course, that some of the other companies are saying, well, we wouldn't have done it that way. And the new rules that have been issued by the Department of Interior will probably make it almost impossible for companies to take those types of shortcuts in the future.
You also talk about the subsidies that go into this giant industry, the oil industry. You say that there's been $1 billion in lobbying from the industry to Congress since 1998. You also say that there's been about, I think it's $51 billion in federal subsidies from 2002 through 2008. How does that impact the industry?
And you didn't mention the 700 lobbyists, and of course you wouldn't have 700 lobbyists unless they got something for that. What it does two things is, essentially, the oil industry has gotten a lot of financial support, these subsidies that you mentioned that are on top of subsidies that apply to industry in general, and they've also been able to escape the type of careful oversight that is critical to make sure we don't have accidents like this. Companies are out there, they're trying to make money, that's their job, to drill for oil, but it's the agency's job to make sure that the public is protected. And what all that lobbying and that very cozy relationship that the oil industry had with the oversight agency meant that they were sometimes, for example, filling out forms in pencil and the inspectors were just writing over that in pen. There was really a bit far too cozy a relationship and there was no real oversight. Nobody was looking out for us is the bottom line.
We're speaking with Peter Lehner. He's co-author of the book, In Deep Water, The Anatomy of a Disaster, The Fate of the Gulf, and How to End Our Oil Addiction. Well, what was the fate of the Gulf? What happened to the Gulf of Mexico after this oil disaster?
Well, some we know, some we don't. We know that tens of thousands of people are out of jobs, and many of them are still out of jobs, all the people in the fishing industry and many in the tourism industry. One of the things that's been lost in a lot of the coverage is that there's 10 times as many people in the tourism industry in the Gulf as in the oil industry. So when this oil well exploded, it put a lot of people in other industries out of work. And many of them, as I said, are still out of work. We don't know a lot of what the full impact of the oil on the Gulf will be. We know it's oiled a vast area of beaches and of wetlands, and we know that wetlands, when they're oiled, often will die, and when the marsh grass dies, then it's susceptible to erosion, and basically the wetlands get eroded away, and you've got open ocean. We know that hundreds of birds were killed. We know marine mammals and turtles, sea turtles were killed. But one of the frightening things here is because this was one of our first times of a big spill a mile underwater where there's different biological activity. It's cold, it's dark, there's currents that you can't see on the surface, that there's oil often coming up, and it seems to be in the sediments, and then it washes around. We don't really know, and that's the frightening. That's, I think, a very frightening thing. And when I spend time in the Gulf, and Bob Deems, my co-author, is down in the Gulf today, one of the biggest impacts is just the uncertainty. We don't know how much the oil will affect, for example, next year's shrimp crop or next year's tuna, bluefin tuna. Almost all the bluefin tuna that is in the whole Western Atlantic spawns in the Gulf. We don't know the impact of the oil on that. We know oil is toxic, but how bad will it be? That's, I think, frightening a lot of people.